You're listening to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. This show is created for entrepreneurs, business owners, marketers, and dreamers who want to learn from the experts of today and drastically shortcut their own success to build a business that supports their dream lifestyle. Since 2011, Tyler Jorgensen has been interviewing business thought leaders from around the world. A serial entrepreneur himself, Tyler also shares his personal insights into what's working in business today. Welcome to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio.
All right, welcome out everybody to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. I am your host, Tyler Jorgensen, and today I have a friend and colleague here, and I'm very excited to talk about because in entrepreneurship, a lot of people think that age matters, but Bo, like me, got started in entrepreneurship as a kid and now is a major player in the online retail space and dominates Amazon. Welcome out to the show, Bo Crabill.
Thank you, Tyler, so much for having me on. So excited to talk today, but yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. So we're going to go through your journey. So we're going to peel it all the way back to the beginning. You were a star athlete in high school, but you got bit by the entrepreneurial bug early. What happened?
Yeah. So long story short, we're going to go from the very beginning. I guess the first glimpse of, internet entrepreneurship, where I started making money online, you call it internet money, is when I was in middle school at 12 years old. So it was like sixth grade. There are all these like Nike Elite socks that came out. You were the cool kid. A lot of the basketball players had them. If you had these $12 pair of socks, that they're really stupid. I guess they're okay. They're like cushiony, but they were 12 bucks. But Nike only had, at the time, I think it was like black, white that they came out with, and they came out with red and blue, very limited colors. I actually saw a friend of mine. They invited me over to their house and they were like dyeing the socks different colors. Like, oh, that's interesting. And they weren't doing it out of like a business idea. I was like, oh, I probably could do this and sell it to classmates at school. So I took that idea, ran with it, and went up to classmates at school, said, hey, do you want these in red or purple or rainbow or whatever color you want? And then they would put in their orders and I would sell them back to them for like $25. So I doubled my money. I'd go to Joann's, an entire process for it. And that was fun. Prior to that, I was doing some other small things, like a newspaper route. I would do lemonade stands. I picked up dog poop from my neighbor's yard. And I tried to do a bunch of weird things to make money. But then the principals at my school said I can't be collecting money on school grounds because it was a public school. And they're like, yeah, you need to give us a cut if you're going to be doing that. I'm like, all right. I was very fortunate where I actually had a father who was dabbling on eBay quite a bit like throughout the years. So I knew how to make a listing onto eBay because he showed me how to do that. So I was like, all right, well, if these classmates at my school like these socks, there's probably tens of thousands of other middle schoolers out there that would want these socks. So post them on eBay and they just took off. I was like, all right, this seems too easy. Like I was 12 years old. I was making like $2,000 to $3,000 a month. And that's when like the light bulb went off. I was like, all right, there's money being made by selling things online. So that's where that started. And then after that, Nike later came up with new colors, which I kind of imagined was going to happen. So that kind of phased out a little bit. I got into buying things from China. I was selling like these Kendama yo-yos. That was like it's like a little ball and a stick and you like flip it open.
Yeah, I remember that trend.
Yeah, so I hopped on that trend as well. Sold a lot of them. I was doing probably like 20 to 30 day on eBay, buying them for $1, selling for $9.99. I just kept getting to a bunch of different things on eBay, Craigslist, and at that point I was not in Amazon. I got introduced to Amazon from a friend of mine who had a dad that I'm pretty sure was selling counterfeit like Dr. Dre beats or like headphones and stuff on Amazon. He said he was selling headphones and stuff like that, and he was like, I didn't even know you could sell on Amazon. So I tried the Amazon thing. I tried to list some kendamas because I was my biggest seller at that point. Didn't get any sales. I didn't know how Amazon worked, because eBay, practically anytime you want to go sell a product, you have to create a new listing. Right. On Amazon, what I know now, I didn't know back then, is that practically you can just sell something that's already in Amazon's catalog, unless you're creating up your own brand and things like that. So anyway, didn't really do much with Amazon. I got really competitive in cross country and track. So as soon as I kind of realized I was really good at running, I ran a 422 mile. I was pretty fast, started getting a bunch of recognition from like schools and things like that. So I kind of put my business to the side until I got injured. And then when I got injured, I was like, all right, there's nothing else to do except run my business. And kind of went from there.
Awesome. So I know like a lot of people that I know in my age group did eBay, did Craigslist, did that kind of stuff. You're younger, right? How old are you?
21 right now.
So you're 21, and I mean, you were doing this in your teens. So you were doing this when other people were doing it in their 20s or 30s, and the eBay craze was going on. And so you've got, you know, you're approaching a decade of experience. And so even though you're 21, you've been doing this a long time. Yeah. Some of the big things that I've heard you talk about, you've talked about why you've moved so much of your energy to Amazon instead of eBay. So if somebody's just getting started in wanting to sell online, let's just say between those two, A or B, why Amazon over eBay?
So they're definitely different marketplaces. We still sell on eBay and do fairly well for the marketplace. And it's, you know, there's definitely some products and categories that sell better in eBay. Like if you have a bunch of used clothing for whatever reason, it's probably better to sell it on eBay. So yeah, I get that question quite a bit. Like, okay, a lot of people assume that eBay is better to start off with for beginners, but I see it's like kind of two different business models. So Amazon, I think of it more as like a shopping mall.
Yep.
Where it's like, it's new products, the newest stuff, you know, and it's, you're selling things in new conditions. They're doing a lot of volume and revenue. eBay, I would say it's more of a garage sale where, you know, you can probably make higher profit. It's more used products, more of like a deal type of website. eBay's try to change up their algorithm a lot, and they're trying to like match up to be Amazon and things like that, which I don't know. But I think the one thing that eBay really does have very well is they have like when people think of eBay, they think deals. When people think of Amazon, I guess they kind of think of deals, but like things are so much more expensive on Amazon than eBay. Like if you want something for cheaper, like go on eBay. I do actually I do more shopping on eBay than I do on Amazon just because it's the same stuff.
Yeah, but, I would never think Amazon deals. I think Amazon convenience and speed. That's it.
Yeah.
But never deals.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you might occasionally find them, but that's not, I don't think they're driver. And so they're two different business models, right? So what are the upsides of Amazon for a seller?
Yeah, so definitely the upsides of Amazon. Like you're not like, I would say it's more scalable. Like you can use Amazon's FBA services where practically you send a bunch of inventory on Amazon and they're the ones shipping it out. They're the ones fulfilling, which takes up a lot of effort and time. I remember actually my eBay business, I think I was a junior in high school at this point. I was doing pretty well. I was doing tens of thousands of dollars a month on eBay. At this point, I was just kind of really dabbling, you know, doing okay with Amazon. But I spent probably 2/3 of my time shipping out stuff on eBay. Like I have pictures of like up till like 2 a.m. shipping out a bunch of headphones and kendamas and just crazy things every single day. And it's like what I've noticed, like if people do eBay on a, you know, a level that's not like buying a bunch of inventory up front and you're kind of like hustling to find inventory and flipping things and collectibles, it's as you do more revenue, you have to spend more time or then hire more people. With Amazon, you know, I've done it myself where I've sold millions and millions of dollars and we have a team of less than 4 or 5 people in our Amazon business.
Right.
Three people forward. So I think that's the benefits of it. Like at scale, you can keep a pretty lean business. And like, it kind of just depends what you're selling. Like Amazon, there's definitely, I would say there's not a, well, there's definitely advantages. Like if you've been on Amazon for a while, since you like, you know, more the ins and outs, but like if someone's a beginner Amazon seller, you technically could have the same advantage as anybody who's on Amazon. With eBay, like there's definitely more advantages, especially if you're like have a seasoned eBay account, because eBay goes a little bit about seller history and like ratings and things like that and feedback. And you can actually sell things at a higher price on eBay if you're like a seasoned eBay seller. But on Amazon, they create a little more fair where if you're doing FBA, they don't really care about your seller rating. They don't care about what you've done, your history, et cetera. So that's also the other good upside.
Yeah, as long as the product's there and they got it's in their warehouse, it's all the same to them, right?
Exactly.
Cool. So let's go through a little bit more of your story, your journey. So you're in your teens, you're in high school now, you're cranking, you know, 5 figures a month on your online businesses, and you're going to go and run in college, right?
Yeah, that is correct. So
you face a big life choice at this point. What happened and you know, where did it lead you?
Yeah, so I became really passionate about running. I was definitely gifted in being able to run fast for long periods of time. I actually didn't even like, I don't think I ever actually really got to my peak or where I could have done or like my potential, because I joined track my sophomore year of high school at the end of my sophomore year. And I didn't join cross country until my junior year. And I technically only did 1 year of cross country because I got injured my senior year, and only 2 years of track. But that's still like a bunch of Division I schools offered me like scholarships, all that good stuff. Anyway, so became really passionate about that. I verbally committed to the University of Portland, which is actually one of the better cross country schools in the US. I had a friend that was actually going there, and there's really competitive athletically. But then Pepperdine University in Malibu, California, which they're not as good athletically. They're still Division I, but it's just a way nicer school. It's better weather. And I was like, all right, do I want to live in the Northwest still or go to Pepperdine. So I accepted a scholarship there. I was still injured my senior year. So like in April, I signed my NOI. And I was set on going to Pepperdine. Like I knew I, at this time, like my Amazon business was actually growing quite a bit because I got injured my entire senior year. So pretty much all of September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, when I signed my NOI to Pepperdine and I finally got healthy again for running like in May, pretty much every single second of the day was focused on my Amazon business and growing that. And at that time, towards the end of my senior year, I actually got on YouTube a little bit. So that kind of adds something else to my plate. But
sure.
Anyway, so it came to be in the summer now. Amazon business is going well. I'm starting to grow a YouTube following quite a bit. So I'm just kind of making videos on the side.
Right.
A little bit, which is kind of getting some traction. And I go to preseason training camp for Pepperdine University. So at this time, got a lot of things going on. And I knew how much effort it took to be an athlete and runner in high school.
Yep.
But I did not, I definitely underestimated how much time and effort it was going to take while I was being a college athlete. I was like, all right, these are two different things, a high school athlete and a college athlete.
Very different.
So yeah, so I definitely had a pretty hard decision. I got the Pepperdine, not even school yet, preseason training camp. I got my ID card. So I technically was a student a little bit, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, actually, I used that ID card to get a discount at the Apple store later for a MacBook. But anyway, yeah, so 5 days in, I'm like, there's no way I can do everything. Like, there's no way I can run my product business. I'm just now, like, I've had people like reaching out to me to like do one-on-one coaching and stuff like that, which I was doing a little bit there as well. And I knew I was going to later come out with a course and a training program because people were asking about that quite a bit on my YouTube. So I was like, there's no way I can be an athlete, do school. I didn't even factor that in yet. My business, you know, it's just not possible. So I realized, okay, which one am I going to regret more? It was not an easy decision because like I put a lot of time and effort in becoming a runner.
Yeah.
It was hard, but yeah, I think made the right decision and then left. I cried quite a bit. I had to tell my coach and then, yeah.
So 5 days you made it in college. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Like I have a ton of respect for you being able to make that decision. So many people, when their identity is tied to something, you were a runner, right? And you you committed to that. You had put passion into it. You had signed a scholarship. You're going and to make that big of a change, like it's going to shake you a little bit to your core, but it shows a lot of maturity that you were able to ask that sort of question. I know people, you know, they go through the 4 years of college because they made a decision when they're 17. Then they get a job and the degree because that they went to school for just because they did got the degree. All of a sudden they're in their mid 20s based off a decision they made at 17 years old. Like, I think it's totally okay to pull the ripcord. It's totally okay to be like, hey, I'm changing. And like, obviously you went all in on the business and you've really scaled up. It's gone well. You know, most of your classmates still haven't graduated college and you've got a multi-million dollar business. So you've obviously, it obviously went well for you. Do you ever, is there ever a day or a night where you have regrets on that?
I didn't have any regrets moving forward. But like, I think you actually hit on the nose right there. That's a really good point, like having the identity of it. Because yeah, a lot of people are like, okay, this is like who I am. Like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor, going to be this, this, that. I think a lot of people definitely have a lot of issues like, you know, removing from that. Because yeah, I was definitely like in my high school and stuff, I was known as the running guy. Like I was like pretty much known. And no one's going to today like think me as the running guy. But back then, like that was my thing. So it was interesting, but that's definitely a good point. But yeah, I had a, you know, not really, I mean, I had no fear like leaving. I was like, all right, this is it. So
once
I was definitely
once you made the decision, you were done. It was all in.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah, I remember as soon as I went back home, I worked quite a bit. I remember actually, it's kind of bad. I was I would work until probably like 4, 5, or 6 a.m. every single night. So I practically wouldn't sleep, and then I would go to bed like at 7, then wake up at like noon. I'm like, okay, I need to get on back. So like over the first like 2 weeks, like leaving school. Actually, I remember I didn't go for a run for at least like 5 or 6 months in a row, like after leaving school. And then remember I went for a run again. Cause I actually, I don't know if anyone's a runner, endurance runner listening to this, like, you know, like part of the sport is getting injured and just having a messed up body and everything like that. I, like after, I think it was like 5 or 6 months after taking a break from running, I went for a run again. I actually could still feel the injuries I had in my body. I was like, wow, I really did a lot of damage to my body. But yeah, I mean, anyway, that's a side thing. So.
Yeah, interesting. So your business is getting going. You're now scaling up on Amazon. You've still got eBay going. You're starting to do some coaching. In this phase of your business, when you're just kind of in that early momentum, what was an obstacle that you hit in your growth and how'd you overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I would say I definitely got pretty lucky where like a lot of things that I did, I had success right away, which is definitely not most people, but I mean, obstacles. I mean, I don't know. I honestly, like the first like part, like the first few months of like, you know, starting to take my business easily, I just had fun with everything. So I don't really think there was really too many obstacles.
Well, I mean, you weren't sleeping.
Well, right? Yeah, you were working your butt off.
So how did you shift from being like, okay, I'm Bowen, I'm doing 100% of this to start bringing on team members and start growing that way?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely the biggest issue that I had for like over like a year or so was like, okay, and now I'm going from like, you know, this is being like a side thing. Now it's like a full-time thing. Like this is like what I'm doing. So where that involved, like getting more people involved, like having employees and things like that. Actually, yeah. From like day one, when I started doing things a lot more, actually like the first person I hired was just a complete joke. Like I hired somebody to like build out actually like a ClickFunnels website and stuff like that. And the dude said he had so much experience with ClickFunnels. I actually ended up teaching him how to do everything. I'm like, is what I hired you to do this? But
right.
Yeah. So definitely like learning about other people and how to work with people, like get people to be motivated and things like that. So I learned like now I understand like practically no one really cares more about your business than yourself. So
for sure,
when you have partners or like get people involved, I remember actually, so I was going to get a software built out from a, it's actually kind of funny. Hopefully the person who's listening to this, he's probably not going to want to hear this, but practically I had a friend who was like a coder. So, and I know I was like affiliating and promoting like a software like to my audits and things like that. And I just wanted to build my own because like this company that was affiliating, they were jipping me on the affiliate commissions and I thought I could make a better software. So I did. And I reached out to my friend who was a coder and he said he could easily build it. And like, I told him, let's go 50-50 onto it. All right. Like you'll build it, you put in your time and I'll sell it. And he didn't think I could sell it. He was like kind of, so he wanted to get paid up front. And like at the time, I'm like, oh, I mean, I didn't want to like waste a bunch of money at that point. Right. I like, cause I was a pretty stingy like person, very frugal. At that point that I wasn't like, I was very frugal. So I wasn't really like investing a lot of money into my business. I didn't really understand the difference between like spending money, which is a waste of like things that you don't need versus like investing to your business. So that was actually an obstacle that I didn't really, until like now I fully understand like, okay, there's, you know, return on your time, there's a return on your investment, all that stuff. But yeah, back to the coder guy, he just like didn't want to do it. And then he tried to do it a little bit and just couldn't do it. And then like, so then I reached out to like professional, like developers go make it. They got it done in 6 weeks. And I had like 700 members that, or I was like, I don't know, I think it was like 300 or something members the day it launched. Now we have 700 members and it's like making 20-30 grand a month. So, but anyway, so finding right people and developers or partners, employees, and definitely like getting over the hurdle, but understanding like where to put my money into my business is definitely huge. Cause like, I think, I mean, I remember when I started making like pretty good money, I was like, okay, I'm going to put money in the stock market. And I'm thinking about it now, it's like, all right, well, why was I putting a bunch of money in the stock market and things like that, where it's like I could have put that money in my business or hired someone else and things like that. So that was definitely an obstacle. So
awesome. So, you know, we're both in e-commerce, very different kind of sides of the world. When you work with a lot of people in coaching and in your, you have online retail mastery, you've got training programs, you've got your book, The Secrets to Selling on Amazon, which people can get at bowcrable.com/book. You've got a lot of, and one thing that I've noticed is your students and people who go through your stuff, it's, they're like, Bo, what you actually teach us the practical, like how to step-by-step, not just fluff. So if someone comes to you at the very beginning of the journey and says, hey, I want to get into e-com, what should I do? What should I know? What is your like first bits of advice for those people?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's really two routes you can go. You can create a brand, which like, obviously you do that like with Shopify and e-commerce and selling direct to consumer, or you can sell other, you know, people's brands or partner with other brands. So like in my Amazon business, we sell a lot of video games. So we buy products at wholesale and sell for more like on Amazon and eBay and Walmart. And that's just more of like a, you know, put money into it, put inventory in and sell it for more. And then there's also like some smaller brands that we work with that we actually partner up with, get a percentage of sales, you know, that pay us fees and things like that. So with me, I've always found that to be like, I've never actually created like an actual brand of a physical product brand from like scratch. It's always just been like going through that. Now I have a lot of friends I know and like, you know, Tyler yourself, like you like create, you can definitely create pretty successful brands through e-commerce. So anyway, I would say the first thing like someone would want to figure out is like, okay, do you want to create up your own brand from scratch or do you want to sell other brands? There's definitely a more of a, you know, a definitely higher profit margin and, you know, you could probably scale faster if you're creating up your own brand. But with me, which I would say I'm not really an expert with like, you know, being a marketer or advertiser. And like, I started very, like a very lean and everything like that. I found what I'm doing is, you know, was better for me on that aspect. So then from there, I would just definitely educate yourself as much as possible. I see a lot of people who like a lot of people who interact with me who are in my YouTube and Facebook group are people that are like, on the edge of or like wanting to start like a business like online. And I see with a lot of those people, it's they see a lot of ads. They see a lot of marketers who are marketers first, who are like, yeah, hey, this is super easy to go do this. You just go make a, you put a thing on Amazon. You're just going to make a bunch of money, which is like not true at all. Like Amazon's not easy. Like building a business like through e-commerce is not easy. Now, I mean, it's definitely can be lucrative. So I would say people would definitely want to take a step back. Like one, ask themselves like, okay, can I actually do this? What skills do I need for it? What do I need to know? And make sure you have like all of your ducks in a row before you do anything. Because like people definitely can waste a lot of money in e-commerce very quickly.
So I really like that, Bo. It's basically like step one, pick what type of e-commerce business you want to do, whether it's a brand or it's selling other people's stuff. Then focus on educating and really like get an overview of the full process and then really go deep on the first step, right? Like that's my thought. So that makes a ton of sense. What are some common mistakes that you see people making when they're getting started on Amazon or eBay?
Yes, definitely common mistakes. People tend to be, I don't know why, but people are pretty risky for some reason, like up front, like they've just put a lot of money into it. Like actually I was dealing with, or we're about to fire a brand that we're working with right now, just because it's like, they're very small. They have no money to put in anything. And they like bought a bunch of units of a product that expires, like it expires this December. It's like a protein shake. Yep. And he just bought a crazy amount because he just thought it was going to work. He saw the numbers worked out on Amazon, all the stuff. I'm like, I don't know, like, because like people see, I don't know, I guess it's kind of like people look at things like price per unit quite a bit. So like when people see like an MOQ where, okay, they may be expensive price per unit, but it's also like, okay, you're risking $10,000 versus $1,000. So I don't know. I feel like that's one big mistake that people make is they put way too much money in the inventory, or it doesn't even put inventory. It could be ads, could be, they go, I feel like people take too many steps forward first before taking baby steps, if that makes sense. So I'd say
that makes a ton of sense. That's a good way to summarize that down. Like get successful on making, you know, 5 units at a time, 10 units at a time, be profitable before you go buy, order a 10,000 unit MOQ and bring that in.
Yeah, because you can be very lean and practically profit from day one, which I think like on Amazon, you can definitely do that. Like if you are coming up with a brand, maybe you could like test it out. You could put on Kickstarter. You could, you know, put onto eBay, Facebook, what are those things, like sell it to friends and family first. So I think that's one big step that people miss out is that they just go step six before step one. So I think like step one should be like, try to make your first dollar of profit without wasting a dollar. Like just try to like be as like, because you can, like it's, you can create, you can put something on eBay. You can like get one unit of it. You can try to sell your friends and family like, hey, who would want this? So I think that's what.
I'm a big, big believer in testing before you scale. And that's a great way to do it. All right, Bo, flex a little bit for us. What are you guys doing in Amazon sales these days?
Yeah, so we're doing about $600K a month in growth sales on the product side of the business. The other side of the Amazon business, which we were doing, it wasn't really like a serious thing that we were doing until this year. We were doing it more on the side. We actually used to do it for free, is like kind of partnering up with the brands, getting a percentage of them, which right now, we're probably making an income from that, like $15K a month of profit because we don't have expenses with that. But we're bringing it on some brands right now that could like really boost up that number pretty quickly. But anyway.
Yeah, that's a cool new part. And then how about in the education side of your business? Because, you know, you have courses, you have your book. How's that? What are you guys doing there?
Yeah, so that's pretty good. For the education business, there's a software and then we have like trainings and courses, books and coaching, things like that. The software does about $30K in like monthly recurring revenue, which is great.
Yeah.
My expenses for that's pretty lean. It's a very simple, straightforward software. And if anyone's like, if someone's doing my business model into Amazon, like you need the software. We're actually right now, we have a Telegram chat of like 30 plus people beta testing a bunch of new updates with it right now. We're actually getting it rebranded to supplierscout.com. But anyway, so there's that. The rest of the education and course business is probably doing around another $70K. A month off of that, which like there's a few expenses, not as much as like a product business.
Sure.
Yeah. So then I mean, it's going well.
Nice. And so, you know, what I love about your story is you start small, but then you iterate very quickly. You're prudent in how you approach, but you're not scared to go big. And I feel like sometimes it's one or the other for people. They either just take a big risk at the beginning and then they're done. They're out, right? They bought one unit, one big order. It didn't sell and they're done. Or it's the other way around. The guys never, they only do small tests and they never get into the next phase. And I've watched you just in the year or so, year and a half that I've known you, I've watched you do this in several different things. And it's been really cool to see. So guys, I highly encourage you, if you're interested in Amazon or selling online, go learn from Bo. Go to BoCrable.com, get his book, The Secrets to Selling on Amazon at BoCrable.com/book. And for everyone listening, it is now your turn to go out and do something.
Thank you for tuning in to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. What you didn't hear was one more very important question that Tyler asks each guest. If you want to be a fly on the wall when the real secrets are shared, go to bizninja.com/VIP and get your access today. Remember to subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. And our one last favor, if this episode was meaningful to you, please share this podcast with a fellow entrepreneur so they can grow along with us. Biz Ninjas, it's your turn to go out and do something.